Okay. So, Christmas.
Yes.
Right around the corner.
Sure is.
No, it's not. But I was in a mall today, and they were playing Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time by Wings.
Oof.
Right? And I was just like, oh my God, I'm in the third circle of hell already. And it's Christmas.
That's like one of the worst ones.
Exactly. And it's Christmas is like 6 weeks out. Ugh. And I was in the mall because I had to go to the Home Depot to buy some plumbing supplies, like literally pipes.
You didn't have a vacation disaster, did you?
No, I did not have a vacation disaster. Nope, this was something that's been brewing for a while, some cracked pipes, and I knew I had to do something about it. It was just a little dribble, but you know, you can't let a pipe dribble.
No.
So, it was one of those days where I was trying to be super efficient by combining like a bunch of things that I needed to do into one mega trip.
Let's talk about that.
It turned out that it was like confusing and upsetting, and it didn't go the way I was hoping it to was going to, and was not at all efficient. At one point, I actually walked away from the mall, got on a bus, because I was just like, oh, I need to get out of here. And then like three blocks later, I was like, oh, I gotta go back. I can't leave. Like, that's how inefficient it was.
What did you have to hit? You had to hit the Home Depot?
I had to hit the Home Depot. I had to go to the Winners, and I had to go to the grocery store.
Mm.
All of them available in one easy-to-locate mall, but it was just such a disaster.
Our friend Rachel is selling blueberries to support her women's choir, the Women's Echo Choir, the Echo Women's Choir.
Yes.
And it's time to get those blueberries.
It is.
And she works near the coffee store that sells the coffee that I like.
Oh.
And also near where some dry cleaning was. So I was like, yes, okay. I'm working from home. I'm working from home.
Like, this is the only thrill we have anymore, right? Is the thrill
it's efficient sizing. Yeah. Oh, three things I need to do are close together today.
I'm going to lasso them all together and I'm going to feel so good.
But I didn't. I got up like super early this morning and I went to the gym, and then I like worked really hard from home all day so that I could like scooch out for lunch a little bit early and then like sprint back up the rail path carrying my bag of frozen blueberries and my son's winter jacket and a pound of coffee so that I could get to my 1:30 meeting and finish up work and like start cooking dinner early.
How'd that go?
And then watch a baking show. Well, it's all done. It's all done now.
It's over now. You survived it.
Yes.
Did anybody cry?
Nobody I saw. I don't see what any of this has to do with Christmas. Christmas isn't a stressful time. We're full of busy errands.
Freaking out because things are not the way that you want them to be.
I think I talked about this last week, but I'm not sure. It got dark and they did a daylight savings time to us.
Mm.
And I had to go and buy an expensive bottle of whiskey. I just need it to get through these dark times, dark times. I don't even want to get tanked. I don't even want to like have the three drinks. I just want to have something nice.
Yeah.
That gets me a little drunk.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about the Great Canadian Baking Show's first ever holiday baking show?
I think we should.
Let's do it.
All right, should we do an intro?
Yeah, we should clap.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
That wasn't good. Let's do another one.
Okay. I thought it was good. 3, 2, 1.
Hello, I'm Richard Plateau.
And I'm Liz Walker.
And this is the Baked Canadian Takeoff, a podcast about the Great Canadian Baking Show Christmas Special. No, Holiday Special. Holiday Special. So let's talk about our bakers.
Oh, isn't it nice to see those friendly faces once again?
It sure is, yeah. James and Megan are definitely two of my favorites, and Timothy and Vandana are also awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice to... because we were speculating last week about who was going to be there. We really didn't know, like, how it was being framed, if it was going to be, like, past winners or what. And so yep. when it turned out to be who it was, it was just like, oh!
Yeah, yeah.
Like old coworkers that you haven't seen in a long time suddenly turn up at the bar, you know?
Sometimes I know a joke I'm going to make, and that's usually not funny. Usually I don't know a joke I'm going to make on this podcast. Mm-hmm. Usually those are the funny ones. But sometimes I have, like, the beginning of a joke, and I can't work it out. And what I have written on my sheet here, like, a couple of times, and, like, circled with question marks and, like, lines going from it and stuff, it just says, James Beard.
Nice.
But it's not a joke. It's the idea of a joke.
Yeah, no. I can put a drum fill in there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Wait, hang on. I'll do it again. Wait, so we fade back up from music, so it's as if we were talking about something, and then I'm like, James Beard! The signature challenge this week was to make 12 edible ornaments, cookies.
Cookies.
Cookie edible ornaments.
I mean, okay, let's break this down. What we mean are cookies that you can put a hole through.
Yes.
Yeah.
That will support their own weight on a tree.
That's all you have to do.
Yes.
And I thought that there were some really spectacular looking cookies. James started off with in typical James form. He was messy as hell, and he produced some gin and tonic sugar cookie Christmas cards, which I thought
yes.
was like great idea, pure James, love it.
Timothy made chocolate and rosemary alpaca Santas with kirsch icing, which I thought were super cute.
Mm-hmm. Alpacas are hot.
Yeah.
Among small children, I don't know how other people feel about them, but they love alpacas. Megan, like, when she started describing it, it's just like, what? But it is such a completely ambitious, completely, like, she made this up herself. Like, she
yeah, this is
has,
not a thing. This is a this
it's
is
not
a
thing.
Yeah.
But she just has this amazing mind that reaches laterally out and sees techniques and ideas and puts them together. And so she made these isomalt snow globe cookies that were filled with something, I'm not really sure what, but also LED lights.
Yes. Yeah.
It's bananas.
Yeah, and real ornament shaped ones.
Like ornament shaped, like real yeah. round things. It really stretched the idea of it being a cookie at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually an ornament that you could eat. Except for the LED light.
And then Vandana produced these, like, perfect jewel-like, I think Bruno said, they look professionally made.
Sparkly sugar cookies sparkly with mandalas. Sparkly sugar,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I would say that the signature bake really kind of lived up to its name because you really got to see their personalities.
Yeah. Everyone knows what a cookie is.
Everyone knows what a cookie is. But not everyone has seen a snow globe that you can eat hanging off of a tree branch. You know, so.
There's a bit of a judging foreshadowing here. When they introduced Vandana, they called her the flavor queen of season one.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to whip up drama in a baking show.
especially like a baking show special where there's not, you know, it's a one-off.
It's literally a no-stakes game.
It's a no-stakes game where everyone is friends and they're all just in a tent baking.
We all just want to feel good here. How do we do that?
Yeah.
How do we pull that off? Editor?
That should be the CBC's mandate.
Well, okay. And so at the conclusion of the signature, I thought, man, they really minimized Timothy's alpacas.
Yeah, they really did.
They really minimized. I really felt like, I mean, nobody wins a signature, but usually the person who gets the blurb at the end kind of is the person who's like doing a little self-congratulations.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, because we saw a little of James and we saw a little of Megan. Well, I mean, okay, maybe we're not going to visit everybody, but like Timothy's alpacas, he did like royal icing and then they were flooded.
Yep.
Like as part of his decoration, and then he like painted on top of that, and he drew little faces on those alpacas.
Yeah.
I thought those were really intricate and flooding's no joke. Like that's hard to do, mm-hmm. and to get mm-hmm. it something so intricately detailed. Like the alpacas had little flecks of gold, and it was like they had little bifurcated parts of their outfits and stuff that were, it was just really well, really well done.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So I was a little surprised that he didn't get any kind of a nod in the edit. But hang on. Any other thoughts about the signature?
Not really. Just how much fun it was to see all our friends again.
Mm, yeah. Why would you go back?
Why would you go back? Another kick at the can.
Because it's fun?
Because it's fun. Chance to fix old mistakes.
Chance to make new mistakes.
Chance to make new mistakes. Some people, not us, but some people like attention.
Right, okay.
Sure, I can imagine that.
Something else I noticed while watching it was that none of these guys have baked with Kyla before.
Right, yes,
so true. They're all meeting her for the very first time. I wonder what they were thinking.
I think Rochelle looks different.
Would you like to introduce the technical challenge?
The technical challenge this week was to holla at your boy.
I'm so glad I tossed the ball to you. What is challah?
Challah is a traditional Jewish bread that is very eggy, and that's about all I know about it.
It's a rich bread. It's an enriched bread.
Yes, yes. I loved challah as a child. We would get it from the Scarborough Suburban Grocery Store Bakery,
mm-hmm.
And it was braided on top, but it was in like a big like rectangle loaf shape.
Mm. Oh.
Like maybe they like made a loaf and then stuck a little braided bit on top or something. I would really like to know how they made how that worked.
Interesting. Yeah. Hmm. Challah.
Oh, I gotta clean off my mic.
Yeah. I love challah.
Me too.
Yeah. And also it's an easy bread to bake. They were making much too big of a deal about it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Even with the six plates?
Actually, because the instructions gave them really specific like details on how to do the braiding. Like if you handed somebody like a pile of dough and said, all right, make a six-stranded braid, people would just freak out. It's really hard. But if you have specific instructions on where to put the braids of dough, like each plait, then I'm sorry, that's easy. All you have to do is follow instructions. And it is a technical challenge. Like, it is just following instructions. Like, I think that's... And all of them looked basically good. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, like, the actual plating? It looked fine.
They did for sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's because they could follow instructions.
Yes.
I don't want to, like... I don't want to jump ahead. And B, I don't want to say that, like, the technical wasn't hard enough. But it wasn't hard enough.
It's a special.
I know it's a special. You want to feel good. It's a feel good.
But yes, this is for sure one of my favorite breads. They tried to amp up the drama by saying you need to make your own butter and also your own apple butter.
Yeah.
And here's a contraption that you have to pretend you don't know what it is.
Have you ever made butter?
I made it as a kid from like instructions in a Keep Your Kids Busy book.
Oh, okay. What a great idea.
I have not. Yeah, it's like you're not it's not use the KitchenAid. It's like shake a jar for 45 minutes.
Oh my god, I'm totally gonna get
yeah.
My
you should
kids
try it. You should try it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And then apple butter. I don't really know what apple butter is either. Is it like jam?
It's just stewed apples. It's just stewed reduced apples. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not...
Now I thought you needed to like include the peels in it and then like pull them out, like cook them in and then take them out to get that pectin,
like pectin
in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But no.
But no, apparently not.
Oh, so it's really just making applesauce.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's the holidays and no one wants to get mad and everyone wants to feel good. So
yeah,
it's fine. That's fine. Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Oof. I know it's trite, but I really like Fairy Tale of New York.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good song.
It's a good song. How about you?
You know, I asked the question, but I should have had like an answer in the back of my head.
That part of my brain has not come online yet this year. It's like,
right.
I know they're all in there, but.
Considering that the Paul McCartney song was the first Christmas song that I've heard, it left a.
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It left a bad taste in my mouth. I think I probably need to pull out, like, I like Ella Fitzgerald's Christmas album. Yeah. Actually, at Value Village, I found a, like, a lounge. You remember the lounge CDs of the 90s?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, my God. Weren't they so great? Every time I see one, I always pick the one up in, like, a thrift store or something. So this was like volume 2 of the Bachelor Pad in Christmas Space. So I'm really looking forward to pulling that out and playing it. But I will not be doing that until at least the beginning of December.
Yeah, you gotta hold off on that.
Yeah, I don't believe I certainly don't believe in starting it before Remembrance Day.
I'm looking at my Christmas Spotify playlist right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like the dirges. I like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, oh, yeah. King Wenceslas.
You like some minor chords.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I also like? I like that Wham song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Last Christmas? Yeah. I think it's a really good song. I watched the video. They're all like skiing in the 80s at like a chalet. It was great.
Uh-huh. I thought there would be more chalets in my life as an adult.
Okay, so who won the technical challenge?
The technical challenge was won by Timothy, but I mean, like, as you said, like, all these loaves looked great. They had to pick at them, but I thought they all looked good. I thought there was no lemons in there.
There were none. That's true. I learned a little something. One of them had a little tearing from the baking. Like, sometimes I see when I bake.
That was Vandana's.
Yeah, Vandana's loaf sort of tore a little bit as it rose in the oven, which I think was given as proof of underproofing.
Yes.
Yeah, and so what happens is that because it's underproofed, it's got a lot of
rise.
Yes, left in it. And so it does all of this like spectacular rising in the hot oven and it winds up not gently rising, but it sort of splits and breaks.
Mm.
So that was something I'm going to be looking to my own loaves from now on. And if I see tearing, I'm going to know that they were underproofed.
Yeah. Look to your own loaves first.
Look to your own loaves. Thank you. Well, anyway, Timothy won with a hollow loaf that was entirely perfect in every way.
The showstopper this week for Christmas was to build a festive village out of cookies, nougat, and something else. Have you ever made nougat?
No, geez.
No.
Oh. I mean, nobody actually likes it, so.
I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Would you buy it?
I would buy a small amount, yes.
Do you like a Toblerone bar?
I do like
because
a Toblerone bar.
Because it has pieces of nougat in it, right?
Yeah, but that's not. Yeah, but they're so small.
Oh, okay.
No, I want a nice hunk of nougat.
How about next year's challenge is a man made of nougat?
A hunk of nougat.
A hunk of nougat. Anyway, let's talk about this village.
Oh, I suppose. So I did not. I did not get any of the flavors down in my notes. But Megan had Christmas on the Slopes, where she made a marshmallow mountain.
Peppermint marshmallow mountain.
Peppermint That's marshmallow right. mountain.
I think it just had to be a cookie of some kind and a nougat yes. of some kind. And then the rest yes. was sort of up to you.
James did the Village of the Nisi Gnomes, which didn't quite work out. But I was pretty interested in that German Liebekuchen. Lebkuchen, which is, he described it as being kind of like gingerbread, but soft, which sounded really good to me.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's got honey in it. I think that's one of the things that makes it soft. Yeah, he had an adorable idea of gnomes in a little IKEA village.
Mm-hmm.
Vandana had a sort of Southern Cuba, Mexico kind of style beach house holiday, which I thought was a nice idea to zig, where everyone was zagging.
Yes.
with a tropical theme. And finally, Timothy had Fort Santa.
Fort Santa, yes.
I was really wondering where it was going to go.
He made all his own candy. He made his own candy canes for that.
That was really, really nice.
Yeah.
I just feel like using prepackaged candy is kind of... I don't know.
Cheating?
It's cutting a corner.
Mm.
It's cutting a corner. Now, I know, like, with a gingerbread house, those are prepared candies. I'm not expecting somebody to sit around making, like...
Smarties.
No, right, like... hand turning the Smarties, you know, in the candy coating. I don't expect that. That's part of the gingerbread's, I think, specific appeal. But honestly, outside of a gingerbread, I can't really see the justification.
No, I'm right with you.
In my opinion. That said, I thought the Vandana's use of a candy fruit roll to make a little hammock was cute.
That was pretty cute, yeah.
So I guess I'm in a generous mood. It is the holidays after all. So watching them with their construction, there was one thing that stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any royal icing.
No royal icing.
There was no royal icing. Yeah. Everybody was kind of holding stuff together with, I don't know, it looked like a lot of, like, sort of clear, maybe, like, isomalt again.
Yeah, Megan used isomalt for sure.
She is, like, an isomalt master.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
I thought it was pretty fun. Like I say, I didn't get any of the flavors written down. I was too busy looking at the themes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Megan's looked the most delectable to me.
Well, that big mountain of marshmallow.
Yeah. And then I woke up and my pillow was gone. How about you? What do you think?
All in all, I thought that Timothy's, you know, Fort Santa kind of looked the most traditional.
It looked the most traditional. He had a lot of nice detail work and he put in like a lot of work.
Yeah, he like made those little meringue elves. I thought it was the one that my kids would like the most because it kind of looked, the most traditional. James, unfortunately, James's village was just a total mess. His nougat didn't hold. I mean, his Lebkuchen looked great, but everything else kind of fell apart for him.
His nougat didn't hold, and he didn't get to his elves or his gnomes. So
right, yeah. So he had some time troubles there.
What else is there to say about this challenge?
I think it's really hard to produce something ambitious in July.
Do you mean a baking show or a showstopper? I was wondering that about James's bake. I was wondering if this is something that he has made in the winter before and it has never made it under the hot summer September sun.
One of the nice things that was super unexpected was like the way that they decided to do the finale part of it, like where they actually handed out the prize.
Yeah, that was sweet.
It was like lovely and unexpected to see so many bakers there from the previous seasons and to see Colin singing.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, hello, let's get him out like all the time. Doing his like best boy band Christmas song stuff. I thought it was really, really great. And then and what happened?
In the end, the best Christmas baker in Canada turns out to be Timothy.
Yay!
Yay!
He had come back into the tent saying, I never won anything in my season. So I really think that he's turned this into like a marvelous tale of retribution, revenge. Uh-huh. You know, it really warms my heart to see somebody just slay in the tent. All the bodies. Well, I guess that wraps things up for us.
Well, that was great. I hope the CBC gets to do more bake-off specials. I hope they get to do like Canadian Celebrity Bake-Off and Easter Bake-Off.
For sure. I think that would be a great idea. I like the idea of a Celebrity Bake-Off.
Yes. Who would be your Canadian celebrities on Canadian Celebrity Bake-Off?
I have the feeling that Scott Thompson would be very funny.
Yes.
And would not know how to bake at all.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Which I think makes for good TV.
Hockey player?
Like Marc Messier?
Yes. I was trying to think of a more current hockey player, but I couldn't.
I only know him from those chip commercials from 20 years ago. What's a Canadian celebrity?
Drake.
Yeah. There you go. I bet he's got some like great baking traditions that he can draw upon.
Alice Munro, Margaret Atwood.
Michael Ondaatje.
Ooh.
Right.
Robertson Davies is no longer with us.
Well, he would appear in ghost form.
Ooh. I like that.
He'd actually be, I think he'd be a great host. Ghost host.
And me, the ghost of Robertson Davies.
I think he would see a lot of irony and a lot of rich icing in everything.
This really makes me wish I could taste it. Well, let's end on that little bit of existential horror.
Well, this has been the Great Canadian Bake Off First Annual Holiday Show.
Hold your loved ones close. It is dark and cold.
We may never see the sun again.
No.
I'm Liz Walker.
And I'm Richard Platel. And this has been the Big Canadian Takeoff. Au revoir.
Et à la prochaine.